Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series on financial stewardship that I've been dealing with for weeks now. And I tell you, this is a touchy area. A lot of people get offended when you talk about finances, but we all have to have finances, and there's a right and a wrong attitude about it. The very first thing I was sharing is about being a steward, recognizing that it's not just your money. This is actually God who's blessed you. Everything really belongs to God. And in the same way that if you were managing money for me, it wouldn't be up to you to do what you want to do. You would have to follow my guidance and the things that I tell you to do. We need to recognize that God is the author of all of our prosperity, and we need to follow His directions. There is a lot in the Word of God about financial stewardship. And then I shared about from Luke 16 and verse 10, that trusting God with your finances and using your faith to trust God in this area is the least use of your faith. If you can't do that which is least, you can't do that which is greatest. I tell you, I've already covered a lot of really, really important things. So if you've missed any of this, or even if you've heard it, you need to get the teaching so that you can go back over it. And also, it's a great way to share it with someone else. A couple of days ago, the end of last week, I started sharing about the parable from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, about where a man was stealing money from his master. His master found out about it, says, "If what I've heard is true, you're going to be fired." The man called all of his master's debtors in, and what he began to do, he still stole money, but instead of sticking it in his pocket, he began to start putting it in the pockets of people who owed his master money. And he started discounting all of their bills. And the logic behind it was when he got fired, he'd be able to go mooch off of them. They'd feel beholden to him. And his master commended him for doing that, which a lot of people can't understand this. But I've already talked about two things. I talked about, man, that shows a lot about the master, how the master's trust wasn't in money. His trust was in God. And so when he saw his money going out the door, he didn't just panic. He was able to still compliment this steward. And the reason he complimented him is because the steward finally, for the first time, began to realize that the position he had to be a steward over all of this money gave him power and influence. I tell you, a lot of people don't like to use these words. A lot of Christians think that this somehow or another is carnal, but money gives you power. Money gives you influence. You can influence people. You can take money and use it to either bribe a person and entice them into something evil, or you can use that money to bless a person and just turn their life around. Money does give you power. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, the Lord was speaking to Abraham, and he says, "I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." You can't be a blessing to anyone else unless you yourself are blessed. And when God gives you money, it does give you power and influence to bless other people. And the reason that this steward who was stealing money from his master was commended is because finally he quit blowing all of the money that he had on just temporary things. And you can prove that that's what happened, because in the third verse of the 16th chapter, when he saw that he was going to be fired, he says, "What am I going to do? I can't beg." That means he didn't have any saved. He hadn't hidden it somewhere. He hadn't invested it. He had been blowing it on Blackberries, amen, on all of these devices, on the smartphones, on flat screen TVs. He'd been just blowing it on things, and it wasn't going to be able to help him. But when he saw that he was going to lose his job, he still was stealing money. His master didn't commend him for stealing money, but he commended him because finally you've recognized the power of money to influence people and affect your future. And then Jesus gave the interpretation of this parable in verse 9, and he says, "I say unto you, use money," talking about unrighteous mammon, but that's referring to money, "to make to yourselves friends, so that when you die," the word in the King James is fail, but the word literally means die. They will receive you into everlasting habitations. And Jesus is saying, here's the point of the parable. Use money to touch people's lives so that in eternity, when you enter into heaven, there will be people lined up to thank you for the way that your giving touched their life. And so he's saying, in the same way that this unjust steward began, he was forced into having to use his position to affect his future. Jesus is saying we need to recognize the power that we have in money to affect our future, our eternal future. And as we ended the program yesterday, I was making this point that you can take something that's temporary, which is money. Money is a human institution. God doesn't have money in heaven. I mean, he uses gold to pave his streets. Amen. It's just pavement. It's asphalt to him. There isn't going to be money, assets. All of your money that you've laid up is not going to benefit you in eternity. That is only a human thing. And even if your assets are gold and silver, precious stones, if you have diamonds, which are one of the hardest materials that we have here on this earth, the scripture reveals to us that in the end, this earth and everything physical, material is going to be dissolved. It will be gone, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It doesn't matter if you build a monument to yourself, if you have a castle that you live in, it's all going to be destroyed. So every bit of money that you put in to your house, to your car, to your clothes, to your jewelry, to everything that it takes to function here in this life. And I'm not saying that God wants us living under a bridge or not dressing right or not having gold and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that all of the money that we put into temporary things like this, someday it's going to be destroyed. It'll be gone. But every bit of money that you invest into the gospel and you use it to change people's lives, that money never leaves your life. It just enters into your future where it will come back to you a million years from now. You'll have people in heaven visiting with you and talking about how their life was totally changed through the way that you gave and helped someone to preach the gospel and to extend the grace of God towards them. I can promise you this, when we are in heaven, there's not going to be a single person begrudge any money that you put into the gospel. Because all of the money that you put into the gospel, it will still be paying dividends a million years from now through people that you are visiting with and rejoicing over the way that your gifts and your use of money touch their life. But all of the money that you put into things here on this life, in this world, it's all going to be gone someday. And I really believe that there's going to be a lot of people when we get on the other side and we see things from God's perspective, and people are going to say, man, why did I put so much effort into this? You know, God's not against you having things. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But how nice of a car do you have to drive to get where you're going? You know, I've got nice cars, and all of the things that I've got are debt-free and paid for. I am not saying that God minds you having things. You need to have something that's reliable. And there's nothing wrong with you having something nice. But man, there are people that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a car. And you know, out where I live, these old fancy cars that it cost $150,000 to buy one of those, it wouldn't even get up my road in the summer. My road is like a 20% grade. And these low clearance vehicles, they wouldn't even make it up my road in the summer. I drive a Jeep because that's what I need to get up and down my driveway. It's a nice Jeep. It's got a GPS in it and stuff. I'm not poor. But you know what? I mean, how much money do you have to spend to get where you need to go? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. You're going to take something temporary, something perishable, and turn it into something imperishable, eternal, by investing it in people's lives. And I can promise you when you get to heaven, there won't be a single person regretting the fact that, oh, I wish that I had another 10,000 square feet in my home. I wish I'd have driven a fancier car. I wish I'd have had more jewels and gold and jewelry and things like this. Nobody's going to think that way when you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you're going to be thinking about, man, why didn't I put more into the gospel? But you know, it's too late then. You need to make this decision now. And you need to recognize, you need to take this lesson from this steward. And he finally realized, man, I better use this money that I've got to influence my future. You better use the money that you've got to influence your future. And let me turn over to Matthew chapter 6, because here's a question. When you start talking this way, there's people that immediately say, yeah, and if I do that, then that means I'm not going to have anything in this life. That means that I'll just struggle and I'm going to put all my money into the gospel and I'll just be poor down here. It doesn't work that way. Some people think, well, that's exactly what would happen. If I took, say, 20 or 30 or 40% of everything that I've gotten, if I started giving it to the church and giving it to these missions projects that are touching people's lives and stuff, then that just means that I'm 30 or 40% less. Did you know if there wasn't a God who promised that when you give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That's Luke 6:38. If there wasn't a God who made a promise like that, well then yes, that's true. That you take 10% or 20% or 30% or whatever and give it, well then you would have less. But since there is a God who promised that when you give, He will actually cause it to abound back unto you, that you will receive. Matter of fact, if you were to go over to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, I believe it's around verse 30, 29, 30, somewhere in there, it says, there's no man that hath left house or father or mother or brother or sister or lands or children or wife for my sake, but he shall receive in this life 100-fold with persecution and into the world to come eternal life. The Lord promised 100-fold return in this life, not just in the one to come, but in this life, 100-fold return. So see, the thinking that people, when you start talking about use your money to influence people for eternity, take something temporary and turn it into something eternal. Take something that is going to perish and turn it into something that will never perish. When you talk that way, the carnal mind will say, and yeah, and I'll just struggle and do without. That's not the way it works in the kingdom. Because there is a God who's made promise that you will receive 100-fold return in this life, not just in the one to come, but in this life, then God will actually take care of you better than you ever took care of yourself. I know that some of you struggle to understand that, and you say, I just can't understand this. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind because this is supernatural. You know, if you have $100 and if you give away $10, then you only have $90, and $90 can't do as much as $100 can do. That's the way that the math works in this natural world. But when you factor into it faith, and if a person gives that $10 because they are putting first the kingdom of God, then it says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And if you were to go back all the way up into the 19th verse of this 6th chapter, it starts talking about don't lay up treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. You know, this is talking about that you can actually lay up treasures in heaven. This doesn't mean that you can take your gold, your silver, your jewelry to heaven. But you can take these physical, tangible assets. You can give and invest in people's lives, specifically sharing the gospel with people, and turn those physical, tangible assets into eternal things through changed lives. And they will be treasures in heaven. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. For those of you outside of the United States, a U-Haul is a moving van, where you put all of your assets into it and move someplace. You know, once you die, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead by turning it into a gift that helps a person understand the gospel and sees a person healed and changes a life and all of these kind of things. You can physically do that. And when you do that, when you put first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, then the Lord will give you all of these other things. And if you read the verses all the way between 19 and 33, the other things are talking about what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with. You know, my personal testimony, I am not the greatest example of this, but I have come from abject poverty. My wife and I had virtually nothing. I mean, we've been through a lot of hard times, most of it because of religious bondage and doctrine that taught me wrong things. But anyway, we've put God first, and we have always given. And you know, God has just blessed us. Everything we own now, our house, our cars, everything we own is debt-free. We owe nobody anything. We are blessed. We haven't put the emphasis on houses and cars, and yet we've got them. God has taken care of us. And, you know, our giving fluctuates. It's not always the same, but I'd say that our minimum giving is 40%. I think it was last year we gave 80-something percent. We give close to 80, 90% on an average, and we give a lot. And yet we have all of our needs paid for. Everything we own is debt-free. If I needed a new car, I could go buy a new car, pay cash for the thing. God has just blessed me hand over fist. And it's not all through this ministry. I mean, I've given cars away to people. I bought cars for other people when I needed a car. And yet, I would drive the clunker that I have and go out and have another person go buy a car, get a loan for it themselves, and I pay their payments for 5 years. And I've paid other people's car payments and bought them brand new cars when I needed a car myself. I didn't do it trying to manipulate God and make God give to me. But you know, when I started giving, we've given away over 12 cars now. I forget exactly. But I started giving away cars, and I've had cars bought and given to me debt-free and just had them bless me with it. The point that I'm trying to make is that people, when you start saying, put God first, and you start using your money to bless other people and to change people's lives, the carnal mind will sit there and think, but I would do without. And I am a testimony that it's not that way. You know, back, I think it's now been 22 years, nearly 23 years, when my wife and I started building our home, our dream home. And when we started that process, we didn't have hardly any money. We were not very well off. And so all we had, we could afford somewhere around $50,000 for a home. And I guess I could have stretched myself a little bit, but that's what we were going to do. And the only thing I could get for that was a mobile home. And I was going to move a mobile home onto this property that we had bought. And a man at my church came up, and he had heard that I was doing this. And he says, well, you don't want a mobile home. And I said, that's not what I want, but I said, that's what I can afford. And he says, I'm a builder. He says, I'll build you that home, and I'll just have you pay the receipts. I'll have you pay the subcontractors, and I'll charge you $3,000 for doing all of this. And so anyway, for $60,000, we got our home built that was much, much better than a mobile home. Matter of fact, I don't know the exact price when we had it built 22, 23 years ago, but our builder estimated that it was at least worth a $120,000 house that we got for $60,000. And you know what? I didn't ask for that. I didn't go out and try and make this happen. But because we had been putting God first, God had somebody just help me. And I was able to get that house for less than half of what it cost. Since that time, I've added to it. We've put siding on it. We've done other things. Our tax evaluation is, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's over $500,000. And you know what? God has blessed us. And I didn't do anything to make this happen. God just blessed us. I'm saying my testimony is that when you put first the kingdom of God and we give anywhere from 40 to 80% of what we have, when you put first the kingdom of God, God supernaturally takes care of what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with. And I can promise you, as I've said before, God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. If you are barely getting by, if you are struggling, and it seems like, man, you're just on the brink of disaster, I say this in love, but you have not put God first. Either you haven't put God first, or there is a time of sowing and reaping. And if you've started putting God first, it just takes a period of time for this prosperity to begin to start working in your life. You are either in process or you have not been putting God first. Because when you put Him first, God is going to take care of you. And God paves His streets with gold. Man, God makes His gates in heaven out of one pearl. God is not cheap. When God becomes your source, when you put first the kingdom of God, you'll prosper more than you could ever prosper on your own. I can testify about that, that man, if I was out trying to provide just prosperity by my own efforts, I would not have had all of these things. I would not be in the place that I am right now. God has blessed me. God will take care of you better than you take care of yourself. I'm telling you, all of these things that I'm saying are true. That's not the reason that you start giving so that you can just get, because that's a wrong motivation and it wipes out your gift. But I'm saying this as a comfort and an encouragement to those who would put God first and literally put His kingdom first, that if you'll do that, you don't have to worry about doing without. God will take care of you better than you would take care of yourself. Man, that is tremendous news. That is awesome news. I'm out of time today, but I do want to encourage you to please get these materials. I've got this CD teaching on financial stewardship. I've also got it in CD and in DVD. And I tell you, these truths would change your life. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information, and please call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Unjust Steward, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 27th through the 30th and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference June 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference July 4th through the 8th and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
CBC points you to God, a relationship with God. That's what I came here for, and that's what CBC does.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available. But the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.
I had grown up with God puts us through things to make us stronger people. You get healed if it's God's will. And if you don't get healed, then He wants you to go through it.
Listening to things that people said, like, you know, God's trying to teach you something. He doesn't heal everybody. He heals some people.
I heard people talking at church about, you know, God had a different plan and God made me sick.
Because the way I was raised, God would get you.
I felt like God had punished me.
The church I grew up in was big on just performance.
I was such a law-based, legalistic person and didn't even know it.
Really devastated with legalism.
I was operating in a law mindset. I had a law perspective.
Always being focused on the law.
Deep into religion.
I grew up in church.
I was raised in church.
A denomination that was very legalistic.
I came from a Baptist background.
I'm come from a Catholic.
I was raised a preacher's kid.
I was a missionary kid, grew up on the mission field, taught the Bible my whole life, got saved at 4 years old.
And I had been in and out of church since I was 5 years old.
I was saved when I was eight, and I was saved just to stay out of hell.
Saved and stuck.
Until we heard about Andrew Womack and he began to explain.
And Andrew just countered all of that with the Bible.
No one had ever explained those scriptures so beautifully.
It's just made me over on the inside. I'm totally different. I'm a different person.
And when I finally seen the truth, it was awesome. And it still to this day is just amazing.
His teaching was freeing.
It grabbed my heart because I had never heard that our sins were not imputed to us, not put to our account.
This makes sense. The Bible makes sense to me. And He's ringing true to what I'm reading in the Bible.
You didn't have to perform in order to gain a relationship with God, that He loved you.
It took the religion out of it and made it all about relationship.
And then everything you've studied for your whole life, all of a sudden it comes into sync. It's like, pow.
The Spirit came over and just went, whoop. And it all lined up.
That clicked, and all of a sudden things became so real and so understandable.
And you get this revelation on the inside of you.
And I wept. I sat on the side of the road and I wept.
All of a sudden, the Bible made sense.
And now I live in the blessings of God.
My life just changed, and it changed for the better.
Life has just gotten better and better.
Life is good when you have hope.
And God is just good.
We have a life now that we've never had before in every area.
What I found was victory, where we didn't have any before.
I really am grateful that He submitted to the Lord, because I'm reaping the results of it.